his great love. From our hearts say, I'm sure it's I'm living by faith. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Have you ever enjoyed service here over the weekend? We had camp meeting. It was just camp meeting galore. Everywhere you looked, it was camp meeting. Everybody you looked at, they was in camp meeting. I'm glad to be back at it again tonight, aren't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart tonight. I believe this whole group was in camp meeting over the weekend. They played really well, didn't they? I appreciate these guys up here, don't you? Amen. I certainly do. Praise the Lord. Well, if you're going to tell somebody something, tell them while they can hear it. Give them a rose while they can smell of it, right? Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Play some more of it. One more time, living by faith, it's Jesus above, we're trusting, confide, oh, in His great love, all hearts say, in His shelter. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Sister Martha Ann sends this in to please have a prayer for Sister Jan Winters. Upper respiratory problems and flu-like symptoms are asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Brother Jonathan Baker wants us to pray for his mother and father, brother and sister Baker, who are both sick with a stomach virus. So let's remember those folks tonight. I want to pray for Brittany Elliott, not feeling well. Let's remember her tonight as we pray. I want to please pray for Brother Orville. He's going in for surgery in the morning, so we just commit that need unto the Lord. God's able to help our brother. We just pray that the Lord would be with him. I want to pray for Sister Monica Cox. She's at home not feeling well tonight. So let's remember that need. An unspoken prayer request for a family member. They really need God to come on the scene in their lives. Unspoken, or that's no name attached to that, but we just commit it unto the Lord that God would be mindful of that situation tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a prayer answering God. You believe He's a good God. Even when He says no, He's still a good God. When you're wanting yes so bad you can't stand it, and He says not right now. Or no, you're not going to get it. He's still a loving Father. Are you glad you love Him? Are you glad He loves you too? Could we stand tonight? God bless you. So glad to have all of you here in the service tonight. I want to continue to remember Sister Joanne, Tessa, the family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them in this season of their life, that the Lord is just be merciful to them and wrap them real good and tight in His arms and hold them. And also want to remember Sister Sharon Ward tonight in prayer. Also want to pray for Brother Rocky Ward. Just a lot going on, a lot of caring and things that go on behind the scenes that we wouldn't understand. But Brother Rocky, he's really concerned about Sister Sharon. And he's really doing a wonderful job taking care of her. So let's pray for that little family tonight, that the Lord would certainly be mindful of them. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Gene, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. We know He's more than able to meet our needs tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we approach You tonight, we just want to make You welcome in the service tonight, God, that You'd come and, Lord, open up our hearts tonight, God, that we can receive everything that You have for us tonight, Father. We thank You for the grace and mercy that You show unto each one of us, Lord. We pray, God, and thank You today, God, knowing, Father, that all good things come from You, that everything that is good, Lord, came from You, Lord, because You are good. You're everything, God, that we ever desire, Father. So we ask tonight, God, that You'll come down in this service tonight, Lord, and You'll move, meet every need tonight, God. There's many needs. I hold needs in my hand, Lord. I know there's people that, God, that are desperate, Lord, in need, Lord. Sister Sharon Ward, Lord, we think of her and pray for her just many nights, Lord. We remember her in prayer, Father. So we just ask You to reach out, Lord. Brother Jackie Benton, Lord, has been on my heart for a long time, God. And, Lord, he's not been in service for a long, long time, Lord. But he's been on my heart, God. I know that You're able to reach down and touch him, God. And whatever the need is, Lord, in his body, Father, that he'd be able, God, to come back to Your house, Lord. We pray now, God, that You'll meet every need. These that I hold in my hand, God. Lord, You know the need of the hour, Lord. Sister Tessa, God. Lord, I know that's a big loss, Lord, when you lose someone that you love, Father. So we just ask that You'll give her the comfort that she needs, Father. All things are possible to them that believe, Father. We believe tonight, God, that You're God, and You would not turn us away from the table, God. So we just ask Your will to be done. Meet the needs of this service tonight, Lord. Meet the needs, Lord, of the word that comes forth. May it, Lord, may our hearts be open to receive it, God. Lord, we could sit here, Lord, and keep our hearts closed, and it wouldn't do us one bit of good, Father. So I pray that You'll open our hearts now, meet every need for this congregation. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gene. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. I believe some Sister Joanne, Tessa's folks are here still in the service with us tonight. We certainly want to say, would you just lift your hand so we can see you tonight? Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Some of them may be from Florida and West Virginia, Maryland, I don't know, wherever, but we're certainly glad to have you with us tonight in the service. Now, let me make this announcement. The youth banquet has been scheduled for, if I'm not mistaken, June the 24th. Is that the right date on that, June the 24th? But now there's a lot that's got to happen between now and then. If you're planning on going,
you've got to go to the over to the library, pick up a form, get it filled out. There's not been a lot of those been picked up, a lot of not very much interest that's been showed. And before all the preparations gets into gear as far as putting it together, they need to know if you're going to be there or not. So please, young folks, if you're planning on going to the youth banquet June the 24th, go to the library, get a form, get it filled out so that we can, today's June the 1st. So that's not far off, about a little over three weeks away. So they need to know if you're going to be there or not. Now, remember that. I wish I was young enough to go, but I'm not. And most of you not either. So you're in the same boat I'm in. But let's sing a song tonight. You know, you may come into this building tonight, you're not really feeling well, and you work today, you're tired, it's been hot outside, and you're just coming here and you got cooled down, and you think, I'm just going to sit here and or I'm going to stand here for a few minutes and I'm going to relax. No, you are not. We are going to sing unto the Lord and make a joyful noise. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him.
I feel like praising Him.
I feel like praising Him. Yes, I feel like praising Him. Oh, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. You have this chance.
While you have this chance.
Yes. Oh, why don't you praise the Lord? While you have a chance.
You ought to praise Him.
He's worthy of your praise.
He's in the house.
Let's sing a little bit of this song tonight. I'm going to tell this on Sister Joanne's daughter here tonight, this blonde-headed lady right here. We were here at the service
for Mr. Tessa on Friday night, I guess it was. And we were standing here. She said, don't I recognize you? I said, no, ma'am, I don't think so. She said, you lead singing around here? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, those services are the biggest blessing to me of anything in my life. And I just wanted to say that on her behalf tonight. We don't know who we're reaching out to. We don't know who's watching you praise the Lord tonight. We want to make a good impression on people, don't we? We love the Lord. We can't help it. It's who we are. This is who we are. We just love the Lord. He has done so much for every one of us. How could you not love Him? How could you not praise Him? Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
Thank you, brother.
Let's sing this with Brother Harry tonight.
Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
I'm so glad He is, aren't you? You can be seated tonight. Brother Ryan Kennedy, come on to the platform. Get ready to give us a song. Brother Justin Reagan, if you come on to the platform, get ready to sing after Brother Ryan. Let's just sing a little chorus as Brother Ryan gets his guitar and gets ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing a little chorus. Let's just give Him some thanks tonight. We want to thank Him a little bit. He is so good to every one of us. He is such a magnificent friend. Any of your greatest friend? Amen. Let's sing this little chorus tonight. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. Oh,
give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for you.
Sun's about to break, we've been running for so long. Legs are getting weary, and you can barely even crawl. You feel like giving up, you wanna just give in. The tides of doubts confine you, and tries to pull you in. But there's still a small voice inside. It keeps pushing you to fight until you see your loved ones cheering as you cross that finish line. So run, run as fast as you can. We gotta make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Get your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. The city lights are just ahead now, child. So, very soon, he will take you by the hand and gently lead you in. Until then, we will fight. Love in our hearts, the fire in our eyes. So run, run as fast as you can. We gotta make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Get your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. Those city lights are just ahead now, child. Just ahead now. Forget your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. Those city lights are just ahead now, child. And victory is mine. Victory is mine. This victory today is mine. And I told Satan, get me behind, 'cause victory today is mine. 'Cause victory is ours. Victory is ours. Victory today is
just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be Eve. the supreme sacrifice that was needed just to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, and had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul so glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," and I'm so glad he never called heaven's angels from these hands, pull the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not
certainly appreciate Calvary, don't you? No care how long you serve God, Calvary always means something to every one of us. It was there he took my sins, my iniquities, my shortcomings, and paid the ultimate price. That's the reason we're here tonight, because he paid a price. Amen. I'd like to go with you to the book of 2 Corinthians this evening, chapter 10. I want to look at verse 4 this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We'll read verse 4 and 5, and then I want to give you a couple of different translations of this to kind of get our minds going this direction for a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I'll be glad to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. Amen. I didn't come to have quiet, little, polite church. I want to see a move of God, don't you? Amen. I don't think we have to just sit around and just say it's another Wednesday, but I believe God can move no matter what night it is. Amen. Amen. He's able. Not only is he able, he wants to. He desires to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now let me just give you a couple of translations of that. The Amplified Bible says it like this: for though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. And then another one says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to come and help us. I'd like to speak this evening on weapons of an invincible army. Weapons of an invincible army. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've come into this place tonight, Lord, we are under great expectation of what you'll say to us. Lord, we just ask that you would just come and may you move in a great way in this place tonight. We're asking, Lord, that you would search every heart. May you search every life. Lord, may your angels take their positions, Lord, beside your children tonight. And Father, we pray that something supernatural would happen in this building. Lord, for we know there's a great war that has taken place, even in here tonight as we've come, Lord, and the people has fought the week, no doubt, Lord, and everyday life, it's a struggle many times, Father, as we go from day to day, Lord, and the battle is constantly changing before us. But Lord, even though the battle changes, I'm so thankful tonight we've got something that doesn't change. Lord, for you said in the book of Malachi that you're God and you change not. Lord, Paul told us as he spoke to the Hebrews, he said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come and help us tonight, Lord, as we look within your word. Lord, may we be blessed as we come together, Lord. Help us now that we can surrender to your presence. And Lord, that you would receive the full preeminence tonight, Lord. All the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated for a few moments. I want to start with a statement that Brother Brown makes to us in the first seal, and I'm just going to build from this thought that Brother Brown makes to us to get us all on the same page. He's talking about the ages as they begin to unfold and how that there's a seal that comes to that age. And Brother Branham is reminding us how that when the book comes open, the seals become revealed. And he's speaking along that line until he comes to this part of the first seal. And he said, he come in the first age, the Ephesian age, and he revealed and sent the messenger. Notice what happened as we go along. Here's the plan of it. The first thing happens is there's announcement in the heavens first. What happened? A seal is open. What is that? It's a mystery that is unfolded, see. And when a mystery unfolds and a trumpet sounds, it declares a war. Or a plague falls, a church age open. What's the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God. And then he goes forth to the people after the mystery's been given to him. He goes forth to the people. And what does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message. And what does it start? It starts a war, a spiritual war. When we look here out of the first seal, we notice that Brother Brown begins to instruct us what happens underneath every hour in the church history. On how that when that seal would break, what would lay underneath that seal? Now, as each age begin to unfold, starting from the Ephesus right on down to the Laodicea church age, we know that there was actually a seal that was loosed in every one of those ages. Now, we know, of course, that there are seven church ages, and we know that there are seven seals, and we know, of course, that the mystery of those seals has been brought, not only been brought, but they've been revealed to us, for the Master has caught the mystery of this age, and it's been revealed to us as the Bride of Christ. And we know that Brother Ram actually taught us that the mystery was laying underneath that seal. When that seal became broke open, there was something, a secret part of that mystery that laid underneath that seal. Now, we know that the first seal would break forth, as we're taught in the course of the second seal right on down. And we know that the scripture teaches us that when the first seal began to break, that the white horse rider, he began to ride forth. And of course, we know that he was showing himself as being a deceiver, for he had made himself to be Christ, but we know he was a deceiver. And I want to say this, he's still a deceiver tonight. Even though every one of those horse riders had broke forth and the mystery come revealed, we know that that same rider, of course, is the Antichrist. And he doesn't stop riding, he keeps riding right on through until the end. And we understand that he rides right on down until the end time, until that seventh seal becomes open. And Brother Ram said that underneath those ages, he said that it was actually an announcement. And not only was it an announcement, he said, but the announcement was because the trumpet was blown. And he said, what does that trumpet do out there? He said that the trumpet call is to get the people's attention. And we know that if according to the scripture, we know that Paul taught us that if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who should prepare himself for battle? So when the trumpet gives a sound, there must be a distinction in the sound that's being sounded to the army. And they have to understand, what does the trumpet mean? What does the sound mean? If a trumpet's going to make an announcement, we need to have a clear understanding what the trumpet's trying to tell us. And we understand that he was referring underneath the Old Testament order, how that when an army would hear the trumpet blast, each one according to what time of the day it was, and the sound of that trumpet, they would know exactly what the trumpet means. One would be calling them to dinner. One would be calling them into battle. One would be calling them this or something else. And every soldier, amen, knows what the trumpet sounds like. Now, if you've not been studying the scripture, not been studying the message, when the quotes begin to come forth, you won't have any idea what the trumpet's trying to say. But if you've been living underneath the revelation of the word of this hour, and the mystery's been unveiled to you, you know what the trumpet's trying to say to us. Brother Ram said that made that distinction. It was a call. And he said one would mean one thing and something else would come forth when the trumpet would make a different sound. But there's a distinct sound in the calling to the people to let them know when the enemy is coming and when it is a time of war. Now, of course, the order would be given that the trumpet would sound. And once that trumpet sound, every soldier knows what that means. It's time that we get ready. The enemy's about to invade. Now, we know as we're living underneath this opening of this word, underneath this seal, an announcement has been made to this last age. And he has told us that you and I are in the middle of a war. And he told us that the gates of hell is going to be against us. He told us that Satan's going to bring every technique, every tactic that he has is going to come against you and I. Listen, friends, we're not just fighting a first church age battle or a second church age battle, but we're living in the end time. And the battle is raging tonight. It's hotter than it ever has been. And Brother Ram would tell us underneath that age and how that seal would break, and then the messenger of that age would catch the revelation of that seal. And then he said he would announce that message to the people. And when he brought that message to the people, it brought a war. It doesn't amaze me that we're in a war. The message has been given. Doesn't shock me that we're facing battles tonight. A message has been given. Once the trumpet has sounded and the message has been given, it starts a spiritual war among us. What we should be concerned about is those that's not fighting any battles, those that's not going through any trouble, those that ain't going through any trials. Ain't something wrong with your war plan. For instance, we look in the seals, he said how that the first seal opens and the white horse rider goes forth. And of course, we know that he had a bow, which looked like he had the ability to do something, but he didn't have no arrows. And Brother Ram said, what was that? He said it was an Antichrist spirit that was coming to that first church age that was presenting himself with the white horse rider of Revelation chapter 19, which is the word of God. But he's only trying to deceive them. So under the first church age, Satan comes under a false pretense of the word of God. Amen. Why? Trying to deceive the people. Trying to pull them away from the true word that God had sent them. But once that spirit came underneath that seal, God actually brought a message to that age that would combat that white horse rider when he began to ride forth. So every time that the trumpet would sound and the message would open, reveal it to the people, out come that horse and he began to ride upon that beast. But notice, not only would the Antichrist ride, but God had something that was sent to combat the enemy when he began to ride forth. I want to say this, the people was not left helpless. The people was not left without something to fight with. Once the seal come open, God knew the people needed something to overcome the enemy of that hour. Spiritual war would break out. Now every hour, God does the same thing. He equips the believer for the battle that they're facing. Amen, somebody. In other words, you cannot take a last church age message, a last church age war, and try to use a third church age mentality. You can't use a fourth church age mentality. You can't use an ox mentality or a lion mentality or a man anointing. You've got to be under the right anointing for the right age. Now, we know that, of course, that there was four beasts that came forth riding. There was four anointings that, of course, they came from God. And we know it's the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. And Brother Bam said each one of those anointings, it came forth to anoint the people of that hour. And that anointing would be their defense in that time. That anointing would be their way to overcome in that hour. That anointing was their defense. That anointing was their protection. That anointing was their way to win the battle. It was there to combat the spirit of that age. How the first church age would open, the Antichrist, he would come, and of course then the second horse rider rides forth and right on down to the third, and how that he would come forth riding underneath a false pretense, of course, and here he is. He begins to ride, and then he just changes his mask from one color to another. Same rider all the time. Same message all the time, trying to deceive, trying to kill, trying to break down, trying to pull people away from the message that God sent them in that age. Oh, don't you see, friends, underneath the pale horse rider, it's a mixed color horse, and we're fighting a battle from more avenues than any other age has fought. Amen. We found that underneath that ox anointing, is that me? We found underneath that ox anointing that the anointing, of course, was a sacrificial anointing. Is that me? It was a sacrificial anointing. People was anointed in that hour to come underneath that ox anointing. But I'm not under an ox anointing. I'm not under the man's anointing. But notice, every other beast, every other anointing was an earthbound anointing. Till you come to the last one. And the last one is not an earthbound anointing. Hallelujah. Because the people of the last age is going further than just an earthly battle. But we need something to be able to combat the enemy. Something that would raise us off of this earth into a higher dimension. God equips the believer to meet the enemy for whatever hour they're living in. Of course, we're living in the last days and we're facing every demonic spirit, every demon power. Oh my, the war and the battle is, it's so changed on every front, how it's just changed in the last few years. When you get men now that is underneath the Antichrist anointing that starts coming against and question the validity of our message. Starts questioning the validity of what we believe. Question whether it's vindicated. Let me say this. This is not something done by the anointing of a man. We're not under a man's anointing. We're not even following a man. For that means we follow the prophet. I'm following the Jesus Christ, which is the messenger of this age. Now, if we're going to have to fight, and we are, we're going to have some weapons to fight with. Now, it's already been said in the church age book that we will be an invincible army. But my question to you is, what kind of weapons is an invincible army going to use? Well, we know that it's not going to be human talent. It's not going to be human wealth. It's not even going to be human ability. But because it's a spiritual battle, we've got to have some spiritual weaponry. Now Paul said, according to 2 Corinthians 10, he says that the weapons that we use, they're mighty through God. Not through man. It's through God. And the thing it's going to do is these mighty weapons are going to pull down every stronghold of the enemy. Now, Webster tells us that stronghold means any destructive system or way of thinking. See where the battle's at? Way of thinking. That preoccupies the mind and brings a people under its control. Something we struggle with that we can't seem to overcome. He didn't say we can't overcome. It just seems like we can't overcome. Now, of course, the enemy, he's going to use deception, as we said. He's going to use sin, but not just sin. He wants to bring condemnation upon man. He wants to bring fear. He wants to instill fear into the church. He wants to instill discouragement amongst the people. And he wants to do everything he can to try to make you doubt. Amen, somebody. Now, we understand every weapon that God has. And I want to say this. Yeah, Satan's got some weapons, but God's got some too. And he has made those weapons readily and available to every person. Well, it's not that it's a secret that God don't want you to have something to fight with. He wants you to fight. He wants you to overcome. Well, there ain't no reason today that any man should live in defeat. Come on, somebody. Brother, if you live defeated, it's because you're not applying the weapons that God has sent us in this hour. If you're not overcoming in this age, you cannot blame it on the preacher. You can't blame it on the message. You can't blame it on the word. It's us. I'd like to give you some of these weapons just for a few moments. We'll let you go. But Bram tells us the greatest weapon we have, of course, is the Word of God. Bram tells us in the message expectation, he said, the Word of God, I just love to remind the devil about this. The Word of God will defeat Satan. Amen. I can just shout right there. Amen. It'll defeat Satan anytime, any place, under any conditions. Doesn't matter if you're a church, doesn't matter if you're a hall, doesn't matter if you're at the grocery store, doesn't matter if you're in the ER. Amen. The Word of God will defeat the enemy. The word, of course, that attacks Satan's deception. Because we remember Barak said, the scripture here, as we looked at, Satan is always trying to bring about some kind of deception. Brother Brown would bring the scripture, Matthew 24:24. He said, for there shall be false Christ arise, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Brother Abraham says it like this about that. He says, this evil age, when this is the very age of deception. And Matthew 24 is the most deceiving of all ages. And the age of deceit from the Garden of Eden all the way down. There's never been an age so deceptive as this age. False prophets will arise and show signs and wonders if possible. Deceive the very elected. It's just, now notice, see? Now just a cold, formal, starchy church. And so forth of man-made theology. The elect would never even pay any attention to that. Brother, you ain't got to worry about me trying to have church in some starchy place. That would never catch you and I. But he says it's up there almost like the real thing. Just leaving out one word is all you have to do. It's promised to the age. A very great time. Christians everywhere, take heed for the hour that we're living. In other words, it looks so real. It looks so good. It looks like it makes sense. And it's described and explained. Oh, it finally makes sense. If it doesn't line up with the word, leave it alone. You got these men today that think they've got more authority than the prophet of God. They can come out and tell you, well, this means this. Oh, brother and sister, we better be careful with our types. Because I'm afraid man's not trying to draw people back to Christ. They're trying to draw them to themselves. Why is it? It's the age of man wants the attention. Amen. That's part of his deceit. It's to draw you to humanity. To draw you to a preacher. To draw you to some preacher or pope somewhere. But God wants no man to get his glory. He wants no church to receive his glory. We've come back to see it again. And Brother Ram says the same way as it was in Satan's Eden. He's trying to get us the same way that he did the first Eve. He quoted 99% truths. Got Brother Ram pictures in the church. Got message books, quote books, seal books, church age books. Packs the Bible just like Brother Ram does. Wear a hat like Brother Ram does. Wears their suits like Brother Ram does. It looks good. But then, sooner or later, you hang around long enough. You hang around long enough and listen to enough of it, they start putting a slant to their little ideal they like to drive. And I say it ain't nothing but an antichrist spirit from that beast that rode forth under the Ephesian age that's still riding forth today, trying to pull the elected from the true word of God today. Look so close. Sounds so good. Because everybody's got ears. Oh my. I want something that makes me feel good. Something that tingles my ear. I want something to get me from this dimension to another dimension. Brother, God's whatever he's got to do to get me ready. That's what I want tonight. Oh my. Oh my. But to those that are in Christ, Satan cannot get them. Care how hard he tries, if you have been buried in Christ, he can't get you out of Christ. Once you get in, brother, you ain't never going to get out. Abraham says it like this, an expectation. He said when Jesus was here, he was God. Amen. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. But he never used any of his gifts when he met Satan. He brought the kingdom of God so low, I love this, till the weakest of Christians like David Siler can use it. When Satan come to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones, for it's written in the word. He took him up and tried him to whitewash the word for him. And Jesus said, it is also written. He took him up to the top of the mountain. He had to look at all these kingdoms. And I'll give them to you if you'll just fall down and worship. But he said, it is written. For I said, there it is. It's written. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe and receive it. And you shall have it. Then defeat Satan with the word of God. Just say, it is written. He ain't trying to get you to figure it all out. He said, just say it. But David, I don't understand it. Say it anyway. Say it is written. God promised me. God promised me. I go to church and the pastor anointed me with oil. He prayed for me. I was prayed for. That's exactly what God said would happen. And it is written. Just go right on and refuse to have it. And God will. Now I heard Brother M say, it may take 2 weeks, it may take 6 weeks, it may take 6 months, and it might take 6 years. But if you follow the word of God, and we believe it, it will happen as he said. Amen. But the problem we have is between the time of the prayer, the time of the anointing, and the time of the fulfillment. Satan's going to do everything he can to try to pull your faith down to make you doubt that anything happened. Amen, preacher. Amen. You just have to refuse it. God will bring it to pass. Amen. Why is that? Because you're using the word of God. You're using the very word of God. Paul said like this in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Glory. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints of the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of our hearts. He's saying the word of God. In other words, it's not just a word that has been said. It's a living word. Not just a sermon that was preached 50 years ago or 60 years ago. I'm talking about a living word. We're not feeding on some dead letter. We're not feeding on the dead letter of 50 years ago. But that ain't the God I serve tonight. He's not a God of I was. He's the God of I am. So the problem is that people need to lift him up out of history. I'm afraid the same thing needs to happen around our message. Come on, church. I said, we got to lift him up out of history and make him a God that can deliver the young people. Not yesterday, but today. We need to let him know he's a God that can heal cancer. Not just yesterday. Not when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. He's the same God right now. I challenge you to believe that tonight. The very discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, it's a living word. It's an active word. Not only active, it's piercing. Not just on the outside to tickle us with a sword. He goes deep down within a man. and divides the very soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, the very deepest part of our nature. The Word of God has the ability to divide it. He says the Word is exposing. That's what it does. It exposes. The Word exposes our issues. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church to be petty. We come to get things in our lives exposed. The Word is exposing us. It's sifting us and judging the very thoughts and the purpose of our hearts. I like what David said about Psalms 119. He said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Because the Word is alive. It's a living force. It's got saving power behind it. Come on, church. Matter of fact, David said like this. He said, "It's a guide. It's a lamp to my feet. It's bread to my body. It's milk to help me to grow. It helps me to develop." I said, "The Word develops me. It's honey to soften and to sweeten my life. It's also a seed to regenerate and to make us fruitful Christians. But it's also a hammer." Amen, somebody. It's a hammer to smash. It's a hammer to destroy. It's a hammer to break. Sometimes it does us good to be broken. It's a hammer to break us down sometimes, to help us get to a place of brokenness. I'm talking about the living Word of God tonight. Paul said it's like a sword. Brother Brown picks it up in great spite of every fault. And he said, "Brother, what does he do? You've got to take the Word. Take the Spirit. Let the Spirit come into your heart and open up your mind. And say, 'Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth, Lord. I'm not going to pay any attention to how I feel,'" and the church said, "or what anybody else says. I'm stopping up. I'm blowing out every one of my avenues. All the frustrations, doubts, unbeliefs that I've ever had. But that's the way to clean it out. Lord, not just this week. Lord, what I've ever had, stop it up. I want you to clean it out. All the sickness I've ever had, everything else I've ever had, I'm blowing them all out. I'm bypassing all of them, and I'm coming straight to my spirit. Oh, Lord, come down. You said you made me a free moral agent. You are my son. All right, then. I open up my heart and my mind. Come in, Lord Jesus, and grab that faith, that sword of the Spirit. Grab the sword of the Spirit. Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Scream hallelujah. What in the world? What's he trying to get us to do? What in the world is grabbing the Spirit and screaming? Oh, I think it's got a lot to do with it. In other words, when a person's to do it, don't take it insincerely. Do it with sincerity that's in your heart. Take the sword of the Spirit and scream hallelujah. Then cut down every enemy in front of you. Amen. There it is. Cut every enemy. If an old spooky spirit's making you feel all, cut that thing away with the Word of the Lord and say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Tell it to get away from me. Whack him and cut him with the Word. Brother, he didn't say play with him. He didn't say pet him. He said whack him with the Word. Whether it be a demon, whether it be an enemy, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a disease, whatever it is, take that Word and pull it with the sword. And I want you to listen to this complicated, inferior statement that's mind-boggling, so deep and mysterious that we can't even hardly figure out what to do. But he says, whatever it is, take the Word, pull it with the sword, and if you whack it the first time and it don't seem to move, whack it again. I know you're blown away. You're just, "Oh man, I can't hardly even figure that out." Just take and whack him with it. Well, he didn't move. Whack him again. Whack him again. Whack him again. Whack it again. Whack it until you've chipped a hole right through it. But I don't know about you. I don't want to just say, "Well, Brother David, I've tried it once. Brother, you've got to do more than just try once. If you really got to a place of desperation and you whack him with a sword and he doesn't move, just whack him again. But you don't know what the doctor said. Whack it again. You don't know what the enemy's trying to give me. Give it back to him. Whack it again, whack it again, whack it again. Whack it until you chip the hole through it like a little chicken peeping itself, or an eagle, which is what you are. Glory. And peep yourself right through that old shell of sickness. Cut your way out. Cut your way out. You know how I'm getting out of Laodicea? I'm cutting my way out. I've got some weapons that I said that cannot be defeated, and I'm cutting my way out of this age. I'm cutting my way against the enemy, against the very wiles of the devil. I'm cutting my way out. Peep yourself right through that old shell sickness and cut your way out. Hallelujah. And then say, where's the next one? But this ain't some sissy. This ain't some sissy just sitting around, well, I ain't sure what to do with it. I know it's not want to hurt nobody. Take it and use it. But listen, God's looking for somebody to take a strong sword of faith and a hand of faith and go against the enemy with it. You'll say, hallelujah, where's the next one? Amen. That's the battle. That's the soldier. That's the soldier of the cross. Yes, sir. Another weapon we have access to outside of the Word is the very name of God. Now, I'm not talking about weapons of a defeatable army. I'm talking about an invincible army. And one of the weapons I can use is a weapon that my daddy gave me. I'm going to say it again. It's the weapon my daddy gave me because I got his name. It attacks the very seat and the very authority of the devil. Matter of fact, it puts the enemy right in his place. Preach, somebody. It undermines his business. It undermines his works. As a matter of fact, it attacks the very seat of the Antichrist. And he can't do nothing about it. Oh, how he would like to, but he can't. The name of Jesus is so powerful because it doesn't just, now remember, not just the name, but the name of Jesus sums up every title that's ever been said about him. And brother, he's got some titles because he's won them. That's why. He's won some banners. He's won the right to be used by some names. Come on, somebody. You realize all of the glory, all the greatness of Elohim, it was all tied up in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of El Shaddai is revealed in the name Jesus. One man that God began to reveal much of his name to was a man by the name of Abraham. Now, no matter how many names God gave Abraham, he still believed there was one God. No matter how many manifestations he saw, he still believed in one God. Amen, somebody. Abraham wasn't a heathen. Abraham wasn't an unbeliever. Abraham knew there's just one God. He's just got many names he uses. Now, whenever God would take and reveal a different part of his name, it was more of the attribute or the characteristics, the essence of what God was, is revealed under the name that he gives. One time he may come and he called him by one name, and the next time he may come and call his name by something else, and Abraham, no, that's just my daddy. One time he would appear to him as Elohim. I'm going to go to this. I'm tired of all that. One time would reveal himself by the name of Elohim. But then it's not that Elohim wasn't a good name no more. But that God would reveal a further characteristic of what Abraham needed to overcome in the middle of the journey. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes he needs to give the seed to Abraham a further revelation of what his name is to help them in the journey. Brother, we're on a journey. We're on our way out of here. And sometimes we need many aspects of the very name of God to be revealed to us to help me to understand me. Now, God knows if Abraham's ever going to walk higher into a new position, he's got to know more about God. Amen. Because the first thing God's got to do is he's got to get Abraham away from the world. I said the first thing he's got to do, Abraham, is get you away from the world. And then the next thing he begins to do, after he begins to draw him out, he reveals himself under the name El Shaddai. Which means, I am an exceeding great reward. But Lord, I ain't done nothing. I said, I'm your exceeding great reward. Well, I ain't beat nothing. I said, I am. And as long as you're serving me, you're getting the name the I Am, El Shaddai.
It means it's a God that is enough. Brother, can you? It means you're all sufficient. It means you're a provider. It means you're a protector. It means you're a helper. It means you are double-breasted. So I can draw strength from anything I have need of. So when Abraham would get weak in his body, he'd go right back to El Shaddai and begin to draw the strength from God. And God would re-strengthen and recharge Abraham. You know why? Abraham knows he can't make this change on his own. I said he knows you can't make this change on your own. It's going to take the word of God. Amen. He says, I am enough. I am El Shaddai. Abraham says, Lord, I'm weak. He said, that's all right. I've got strength. But Lord, I'm unable. That's okay. I am able. No doubt they laughed at him, made fun of him. But what they didn't know is what God was revealing to Abraham. And I want to say this. He didn't reveal it to everybody. He didn't reveal his name to the Sodomites. He didn't reveal his name to the plant. Amen. He only revealed it to the sons who had need of that name to overcome in that hour. He's enough. I said he's not just equal. He's enough. And he's more than enough. Amen. Well, Abraham says, well, Lord, I can't produce no change. And he said, I am able, Abraham. I'm enough. Well, Sarah's old. That's all right. I'm enough. Well, I'm weak in my faith. That's okay. I am enough. I'm double-breasted. Abraham could take and begin to draw his strength from the very name of God. When you speak of the name, when you talk about the name, you can never mention his name without being reminded under the Old Testament of who Jehovah is. Because he is Jehovah. And Abraham said, the Jehovah of the old. Come on, somebody. This ain't him. This is Fred. It's Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. And so God began to reveal himself through the Old Testament to give them an injunction of his word to help them overcome in that hour. Like the name Jehovah Jireh. I like that. Abraham not only knowed him as El Shaddai, he knowed him as Jehovah Jireh. When Abraham stood there that day and that realm began to bleed, he said, we're going to call this place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Nasi, my banner, which means my protector. Because what they would do, whatever army that was fighting, they always had a banner. And when that banner would go up, everybody underneath that banner knowed who they was fighting for. Brother, his banner over me, it's not Laodicea. His banner over me ain't defeat. His banner over me is love and overcoming power and joy and faith and forgiveness. He's a protector. And as long as I'm under his name, I'm under his protection. Glory! When I feel like I'm about to lose my mind and I can't go another week, he says, let me tell you who I am. I'm Jehovah Shalom, which means I'm peace. When you feel dirty and unclean, he said, let me tell you who I am. I'm Jehovah Tiskanu, which is my righteousness. Not your righteousness. Not your ability. But it's my righteousness. When you feel like you're lost and you're wandering around and you don't know which way to go, he said, let me tell you who I am. I'm Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. And when David began to talk about Jehovah Rapha, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, which means I shall not want. Come on, somebody. I shall not want. If I come underneath his name and I feel like I'm wandering around, the great shepherd can come down where I'm at. Pull me back into the fold. Jehovah Rapha, my shepherd. I like this last one. Jehovah Shammah, which means my ever-present companion, my ever-present help, David said, in the time of trouble. Jehovah Rohi. That means when you're down, he's still present. When you're up on the mountain, he's still present. When you don't feel good, remember he's present. Bro, Brother and sister, He's not just here. He's here to move on our behalf. He's here to do something for us. He's not just standing around. But when He's there, He's got these redemptive names that He can use on you. Paul said it like this, the Philippian church. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and they give Him a name which is above every other name. It's above Pope. It's above Catholic. It's a, come on somebody. I said it's above every name. His name is higher than any other name. Listen friends, there ain't no high like the Most High. Amen. It's a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, some, just a few, just whoever wants to, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Come on, somebody. Of things in heaven, things on the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ. Brother, Christ just ain't Jesus' last name. But the anointed word of your hour. Come on, somebody. The present help in the time of trouble. My provider, my healer, my protector, my banner, my peace, my righteousness, my shepherd, my companion. He's there and He's got a name above every name. Well, I feel like shouting just a little bit. I'm not talking about Muhammad. I'm not talking about Tiska. I'm not talking about any other man. I'm talking about the man above all men and the Lord above all lords. Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Matthew says it like this. For where two or three are gathered together in my. There I am. Where two or three is gathered in my name. Jehovah Shammah. He's present. Matter of fact, not only are you there, but I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to be there. If you get down, I'm going to pick you up. If you go out, I'm going to pull you back in. If you get too high, I'm going to pull you back down. For where two or three gather my name, I'm in the midst of them. I'm going to tell you tonight, He is present. I'm talking about my provider. I'm talking about my healer, my deliverer, my righteousness, my Savior, my companion. I'm talking about Jesus. We might as well go ahead and brag on Him a little while. I'm talking about Jesus. The name of the Lord. Oh, Proverbs says it like this. Solomon says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I want you to know what the next part of your Bible says. And the righteous. Jehovah Tiskna does something for you and gives you the ability by what He done for you to run back to Him. Brother, it ain't because of how good you are. It's not how many works you've done. It's not something you've done to deserve it. But Jehovah Tiskanu gives you the ability to use the accredit of your King. And He calls it His righteousness. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. And the Tiskanus of God runneth into it. And, come on somebody. I don't have to go to Him and worry about the enemy coming in and pulling me back out. If I can ever get to that strong tower, if I can get to that city of refuge by the name of Jesus Christ, there ain't no enemy that can come in and pull me back out because I'm hiding underneath that name. There's so much power under that name. Demons tremble when that name's mentioned. I just feel like talking about Him a minute. You realize the first time that name was mentioned, a dead baby come back to life because underneath that name is resurrection power. But I'm telling you, I'm not just waiting on a resurrection. I'm in the middle of a resurrection. I already was dead in trespasses and sin. I was among those children, but I've been resurrected out of dark denominationalism. I am under a resurrection. Satan knows there's power in that name. You know there's power in that name. But when you start using that name, Satan cannot stand behind a voice of faith that uses that name against him. You believe that? Pharaoh says it like this. Let me hurry. He said, I tested that when I was a young man. What's this name? I've often heard of spiritualism. The devil, how he does things. I knew there was a God. There must be a devil because the Bible said there's a devil. About spiritualism, I went to some of them and found out there was phonies. Nothing to it, just a big bunch of make-belief. But I found there was some of them that were real spiritualists. And I was at camp one time. We were a minister, and I went to see them there. And they raised up that table from the floor and had a whiskey glass sitting over it. And they'd taken that table and turned it back and forth, and a guitar was flying through the building, people's clothes. Had it up this up in the room, and said this medium said, I challenge anybody to knock it down. Well, anytime the devil makes a challenge, there just happens to be somebody who's up for it. And just happens to be, A.A. Allen wasn't standing there. Jack Cole didn't happen to be there. But they got to messing with Elijah. Amen. Two men jumped up and said, I'll get it down. And they grabbed it around the legs. I can't try to hold it. And it wouldn't. Why? The table threw them plumb across the floor. Listen to this. Don't you just sit around if you've never been in a missionary, been on the fields. Only thing you know is just a thought of a devil. If you look out here on some of these people walking around the streets, you can see him. You can see him. But there is a devil, certainly it is. And people worship the devil and they don't even know what they're doing. And they worship the devil in churches. But you better watch what church you go visit. There's devils in them churches. I ain't trying to say put a spirit of fear, but I'm telling you there's devils that works in there. That old Antichrist spirit that's riding is right among them. Amen. But I want to tell you, I've heard an angel tell me to come out from among her, my people, and be you separate. I worship the devil in churches teaching the doctrine for the commandments of God, of man, creeds and traditions. This woman hollered over at me. Mistake, mistake, mistake. I cannot read what's fixed to have next because I am too excited. Had she looked at that other guy, might have happened, may not have happened. But she looked at me. Brother, it's hard to trick a trickster, ain't it? This woman hauled over me and said, they tell me you're a preacher. I said, I am. She said then, what do you think about this? And I said, it ain't nothing but the devil. I love it when somebody can just call white, white, black, black. It's a devil. She said, well, then if you got so much power, knock it down. I like this answer. I said, I don't have power. I have no power, but I'm here representing one. I'm here under the auspice of a great name that ain't never been beat. He ain't never been defeated. He ain't never been whooped. He ain't never been beat down. And he never ain't been beat up, nor can he ever get beat up. I said, Lord Jesus, you said in St. Mark the 16th chapter, in my name they shall cast out devils. And I said, now that your servant may know, as this battle lays before me. I said, I command the table to fall down in the name of the Holy Church. It stayed right there. I said, I command the table to fall in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It stayed right there. I said, I command that table to fall down in the name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus Christ, and it like to broke all four legs off of it hitting the floor. Hallelujah! Because he channeled the right name, not a church, not some man, not some theory, not a creed or a dogma, but when he used that name that can defeat every devil in hell, that table had no choice but to come down, brother. I would have loved to see the look on her face when her good kitchen table had all four legs slammed down on the ground. I say, God knows how to silence the critics. He knows how to shut the devil up. I think that's where we fell at sometimes. We forget to tell the devil to shut his mouth. We forget to tell the devil to shut up and get out of our way. We're sons of God coming underneath his name, and we got rights and authority by that name. Matthew 28, Mark 16 tells us that all power has been given unto him, right? But then he turns right back around. Notice what he tells us. Testimony of a true witness. I love this statement. He said the Holy Ghost is deity. It's God living in men. God himself tabernacled in that person. And when he can speak, it's just the same as God speaking. I said if Jesus would have been standing there himself, if nothing different would have happened, the table would have had to fall. Because that's the church of Jesus Christ. That's the way the first apostolic church went forth. Again, he tells his Pergamon church age, when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word into his heart and places it upon his lips, it's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. I'm not telling you I've arrived. I'm just telling you what the word says. I'm not telling you mission accomplished, finished, put the tag on. I'm telling you he's working on me. But this is the probability and the potential that lays underneath that name of Jesus Christ. We've got rights, brother. If you can't do it, don't stand in front of somebody who can. For Mark tells us these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents and drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall. So Jesus granted the disciples, the church, all the power that he has. Now he's given that power to the church. And as delegates of this kingdom, we're responsible for the power that he's given us. If we don't do nothing, we're responsible for the power he's given us. If we do something, we're responsible. Come on, somebody. You realize he's literally waiting on you and I to use the authority he's given us. He's already done it. I said the work's already done. Satan's already lost the battle. But now he needs somebody that can stand there and use that name against the enemy. An enemy that's already defeated. You believe that? Weapon's been placed in our hands and we're responsible for what God has given us. I say it's time as believers just start using what God gives us. Well, Brother David, I ain't figured it all out. I hadn't figured it out either, but I can tell you I can say his name. I can tell you what his name is, and I know there's authority behind that name. I don't know how he's going to do it. I can't figure out how he makes all of it work, how he makes it work, but I believe he is able and there's power behind it. Brother, why should we sit around the church and cry whenever the scripture says, why cry when you can speak? Why should we sit around Laodicea crying about all of our trouble, crying about all of our problems? Come on, somebody. When he tells you, speak and go forward. Jesus said, say unto this mountain, say unto it, be thou removed. But even I'm sick, I'd speak that name over that sickness. I'm discouraged, I'd speak his name over that discouragement. I need a peace of mind. There's peace in the name of Jesus. He is Jehovah Shalom. Brother, there's power behind that name. There's mountain moving power behind that name. There's devil defeating power behind that name. In the name of Jesus. Amen, somebody. Not only is there power in that name, I want to say this. He's also given us something to fight with called the blood. Really, what are you going to do with the blood anyway? Come on. It attacks sin. It attacks condemnation. The only way to deal with sin is put it under the blood. Because sin is not greater than the blood. Because remember, sin is the drop of ink. Come on, church. And the blood is the Clorox. John the Revelator says like this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. 1 John says it like this, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from just a few of our sins. Just enough to make us feel good on Sunday morning. Just enough to get us to go to church on Wednesday night. Brother, I needed something more powerful than that. I needed something that would not only take my sin, take my condemnation, take my iniquities. I needed somebody that can take it, put in the seal of forgiveness, never to remember it no more. I'm talking about a cleansing agent. Amen. When you deal with the blood, you're talking about the ultimate cleaning agent. Brother, it can take any stain out of any garment. Amen. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care if it's blood. I don't care if it's grass. I don't care if it's sin. I don't care if it's lust. I don't care if it's pornography. The blood of Jesus Christ. Woo, glory. I don't care if they're a homosexual. I don't care if they're a lesbian. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. It can take a man who's a drunkard, make a son of God out of him. It can take a prostitute, make a daughter of God out of her. Woo. I'll tell you what I need. I need something to come against that old accuser, because he's constantly accusing us. That's one of the weapons he uses, is your accusations. You know why? He's a tempter. But I also found he's a liar. And though he might accuse because he's a lie, let every word be established. Come on, somebody. And he's a liar and the father of it, the Bible says. He follows you around, reminds you of every mistake you've ever made. Reminds you of everything you've ever done wrong. When you come to church and you begin to raise your hand, he tells you how much sin, how many things you've done wrong this day, last week, last month. Tries to make you feel so low and so down, you don't feel like you got a right to lift your hand. I want to tell you, there's something that can help you overcome that. Put that thing underneath the blood of Jesus Christ and let him take it, not just whitewash, but let him completely take it away from you. Amen. Amen. Brother David, I fell short. That's the reason I got the blood. Well, Brother David, I make mistakes. That's why I got the blood. Amen. Brother David, I don't make mistakes. Well, I know your first one. You're a liar. Let me remind you what the prophet said. If we confess that he is, and we've been in his presence, and we've confessed our sins, they're blotted out of the book of his memory. But if you can't say amen to that, I'd pinch myself. There's nobody but God that can do that. You can do anything to me and I'll forgive you, but I'll remember. If anything you do, you forgive me, but I'll remember. But God can forgive you and forget about it. Think about that. Don't even remember it. Amen. That makes me feel good. When it's not even remembered anymore, nothing can do it but God. Nothing but God can do it. He said he would blot it out of his memory. I can't do it. You can't do it. But we've got a little, oh, listen to this. We got these little finite senses, but he's infinite. And he can absolutely forget you ever done it. But I am so good at bringing up what he's forgot. I said we're good about bringing up things God forgets. I mean, if you forgot it, you ever try to tell someone, well, you remember when we did so-and-so? I don't remember what you're talking about. No, you remember what? No, I don't remember something. No, we went here. We did this. I don't remember what you're talking about. It's hard to get somebody to remember something they forgot. It's like, man, I know you may remember, but I don't remember. I don't even know what you're talking about. Matter of fact, that happened so long ago. Come on, somebody. That's been so put so far beneath the blood of Jesus Christ, he can't even remember it no more. God is so great, he can forget. I said he's so great. He has the ability to forget. He's not giving himself amnesia. He can forget it. He can forget. I like that. But what about this, that, and the other? I'm glad you can remember, because God can't. Woo. For Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when the enemy comes accusing me, I can take him right back to the blood. I like the way David explained it in Psalms 103. He says, David, tell us how it is. How far is your sins gone? David says, as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from me. This is a man. Come on, somebody. This is a man who needed a God that can forget. This is a man who knew something about forgiveness, who knew something about the love of God. He needed a God like this. The weapon of the blood. Another weapon is the weapon of prayer. I'm not going to go into this in too deep, because I think we all understand this. Because if you ain't have a prayer life, you're not focused like you need to be. And I'm not trying to leave you out. I'm just saying come back in and get focused. Isn't that the way it ought to be preached? Well, Brother David, I want you to leave. I ain't going to leave anybody out. If you're not in, then get in and get it going. Come on, somebody. Brother, I don't want to see nobody make it or miss it. I don't want to see nobody not be able to make it to the rapture. I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can to give everybody the ability to be able to come underneath that blood. Prayer keeps the old man sacrificed. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. How? Through prayer. Because he dies daily, he said it like this, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the Christ that liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Prayer gives me advantage over this enemy. Amen. Didn't the Bible say we should have it? That Satan should come and get an advantage upon us? Listen to what Brother Bram says about prayer. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Do you ever realize what that means? Do you realize if we go before God in the name of Jesus, it's just the same as Jesus himself praying? Glory to God. Well, you catch revelation of that, I want to tell you something. You'll pray different. It's just the same as Jesus himself praying. It isn't me praying anymore. If I come in his name and he recognizes his name, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I'll do. Then I go to the Father in Jesus' name. It isn't me praying anymore. It's Jesus. It's his Spirit praying through me. And then I've got to receive what I asked for, because he said it. It's God's own word. It can't do nothing else but produce just what it said. So when I use that name and I project that name, it's the same as if Jesus himself was standing there on your knees beside you, asking the Father. Prayer. This is what I want to get to. The weapon of praise. Now there's a lot about it I don't understand, but I found out some things this week. Hey, some things I don't quite understand. Because praise can attack when I'm weary. Praise attacks my weariness. Hey, it's hard to be discouraged when you're telling God and telling him how great he is. It attacks weariness. It attacks discouragement. It attacks your doubts. It attacks your fear. It attacks unbelief. For Isaiah said it like this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It literally means to take off the garment of heaviness because you put on the garment of praise. Glory. It means when you put on that garment of praise, heaviness has to fall off, because you can't wear both of them at the same time. And when you put praise on, heaviness falls out. Doubt falls away. All those things has to melt away when you put on praise. Well, all that thing needs to just used. Amen. But most people don't wait to praise him until the battle is over. And then I found out that's contrary to the word of God. Because praise is not just to be used when the battle is over. It's when you come right in the heat of the battle. That's the best time to use it. You talking about throwing a knuckleball to the devil. He's worked all month to bring you down to the lowest place of your life. And he finally gets you down. You're doubting who you are. You're doubting your salvation. You're doubting the blood. He's got you right where he wants you. Then you hear somebody say, you might as well just go ahead and praise him. Well, bless his name. But it's hard to be sad blessing his name, ain't it? When I start remembering what he's done for me. But I start looking back realizing I wouldn't even be where I am now had he not got me to where I'm at. Had it not been for him, I wouldn't have woke up this morning standing behind this pulpit. I said he's worthy of it. Brother, discouragement may come, but let me tell you, you may be discouraged, but he's still God. You may be down, but he's still God. You may be out, but he's still Jehovah. Amen. For David said, bless the Lord at all times. Good Lord. He said, bless him when you're up, bless him when you're down, bless him when you're on the bed. On the bed. Bless him. Bless him. I want you to hear these statements Brother Ram makes. I'll just read a couple of them and worry. Brother Ram says it like this to people that's coming through the prayer line. This woman comes through and she's deaf. Brother Ram said, can you hear me now? It's over. Glory to God. You can hear me all right, can't you? Look right here, friends. Can you hear me? Say amen. Say amen. I don't know why, and I don't know who may be suffering this, but there's a lot of quotes in this message. And I come against this arthritis quote about 50 times this morning and yesterday. And I want to tell you what he said. That's right. Your arthritis, femoral disorder, all that's been wronged, go now. All right? He's prayed for them, and they're going to leave. But when they begin to leave, the prophet begins to instruct them what they need to do while they're leaving. He said, go on your own now. Say amen real loud. Amen. That's right. Go on your road rejoicing, praising God with all your heart throughout your days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about the way we leave, the attitude that we live in, the mentality that we leave the pulpit and leave the church in after we've been prayed for has an effect upon our bodies. Brother Ram said, healing what his cancer is. Come on, you believe with all your heart, lady. Believe you're going to get well. I thought you were crippled first, but you're just so nervous. That's what it is. You've been that way long. Go rejoicing. And say, praise the Lord with all your heart and you'll get well. Praise the Lord with all of your heart and then you'll get well. As opposed to, if you don't say nothing, you're going to stay in your situation. Just read what he said. Praise the Lord with all your heart and you'll get well. Go believe it now. Don't you doubt anything at all. Just throw up your hands and believe. Again, he says, Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless our sister. May she go be healed. I ask in Jesus' name. Now, sister, just a word to you. If you was a minister or something like that, I want to see what he would say more. I'll tell you what your trouble mainly is. Just, it's the time of life that's causing you to be this way. Everything is seeming to be going wrong, but you're going to be all right. You know how that must have felt when she heard that. Just a little longer. It's a shadow you're going through. You know what I mean. You're going through that. And you're going to come out of it all right. You think the devil would tell her this? You think the devil would give her any hope? You think he'd give her even one little light? No, sir. He wants to make it look so dark and so empty that you might as well just give up. But he said, you're going to come out and be all right. So don't worry. It's a good one right there. Go on your road, happy, rejoicing as you go. Just praise God, thank Him, and watch how everything opens up and you'll be all right. Amen. I said, God have mercy on our brother with this arthritis. I'm after you, arthritis. I don't know where you're at. May he go right out of this building. Now watch what he tells this man. May he go right out of this building. Can you believe what you're reading? The last thing you want to do if you've got arthritis and your feet are stomping and jumping. But go right out of this building. Stomping and jumping. Oh, I know a lot of us don't like this part. Because a lot of us, now you go out of this building with your tongue hanging out. And your lip dragging the floor. And giving devil all the praise because he finally beat you. That ain't what he says. Stomping, jumping, leaping, praising God. I rebuke this arthritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Go believing, sir. Go right out rejoicing and you shall have it. Hallelujah. Again, he says, I challenge your faith to believe it. Don't you believe it? You believe it? What about down the prayer line? Do you believe with all your heart? If thou canst believe, you can be healed. Every one of you. What is this sign of? This sign that you're healed. This is not a fiction story. It's the truth of the resurrected Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the idea. Sure it is. Hallelujah! Somebody must have got happy. It means praise our God. He's in our midst. He's worthy of all of our praises. In case you don't know this, you could not overpraise Him. You believe He healed you standing there, lady? Then go right on your road rejoicing, saying, praise the Lord and amen. We're strangers to one another, but you have a very strange nature. It's a deep thinker, always crossing bridges where you get to. It's a bad thing. It never happens the way you plan it. Ain't that about the truth right there for all of them? Mm-hmm. Amen, preacher. And by that, it's developed a peptic condition, the stomach giving you stomach trouble. You know He'll make you think that is heart trouble, liver trouble, lung trouble, cancer. Amen. And all it is a peptic ulcer. It's a peptic condition of the stomach giving you stomach trouble. That's right. Isn't it right, sir? That's right. Raise your hand. Which is it right? Couldn't be nothing else. I love this. God Almighty knows it. Now, you now throw aside every negative thought, which means Satan's going to cloud your mind with every negative thought. You know how it is. You start feeling bad and you start having symptoms. And the first thing we do, we jump on G-O-O-G-L-E. And we put all of our symptoms in. Before long, we get down. We get worse. Oh, Lord have mercy. I got something I can't even spell. And then you find out, but everything you read's got about some of the same symptoms. Makes you feel bad. And all it was is you stubbed your toe before you went to bed the night before. He knows if you'll throw aside every negative thought, we'll go home and eat your... I like that. Go home and eat your supper and praise God and praise Him for it. Brother, every bite you take, praise God. Every sip of coffee you take, praise God for it. In this world, in this building, I hear evil spirits of war. Christians anointed, angels of God are encamped about them trying to energize them with faith. Brother, you realize that's going on in this building tonight. And here I am just standing here trying to yield myself to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's moving. This is what you call heavenly places in Christ. But remember, Satan is always a skeptic of the sons of God. You know that. He always does that. Someone with a skeptic ideal. And when they do that, he's just trying to interfere. But I want you to take this one home. But Christians always overcome. Stand our feet tonight. Brother, I could just imagine the devil coming in some of them meetings think he's fixing to win the war. And before long, he's surrounded by everything in the world but friends. Kind of like that robber. Probably heard the story a few years back. That robber went into that store and he got in there and fixed to try to steal something. He got in there and stole something, and when he got it in his hands, he took off running out the door. Well, it just so happens, there's four Marines outside the door standing there collecting something for some social work. And when they did, they run out there, and these Marines was fixing to stop this old boy. So what he did is he got pulled out of his knife, and he stuck one of them Marines. Oh, Lord. They said he stuck one of them. They said they had to call the police. And after the police and the ambulance arrived at the scene, they said the robber had to be transported to the hospital. They said he had two broken arms, a broken ankle, broken leg, several missing teeth, several broken ribs, multiple contusions, assorted lacerations, broken nose, broken jaw, which he, of course, got from slipping from the curb after stabbing the Marine. According to the police report. And Satan comes among us. And you get this many people. You don't even have to have a mountain moon faith. Just mustard seed faith. Can you imagine what God can do among us? Let's bow our hearts if you would. Oh, I just love Him. Brothers and sisters, I want to say this tonight. God's give us some weapons to overcome in this hour. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I've found myself not giving account to some of the weapons that God has given me. And I'm sure you have too. But all you got to do tonight, maybe the Lord had me go this direction. Lord knows I love to preach something else. But maybe somebody need to be reminded in this building. Maybe somebody going through something, maybe struggling with something. Maybe in the middle of a battle, maybe the greatest battle of your life, a test. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. There's a name tonight that you can use on the enemy. There's been a word that's been given us in this hour underneath this last day message that this book has come open. We've got a right, brother and sister, to take what God has given us and use it against that enemy. We don't have to sit around and clown for the devil and let him get by with whatever. We got a right as children of God, as sons of God. We got a right to stand our ground tonight. We're Christians, but we ain't got to be a bunch of pushovers from the devil. We got a right to stand our ground. I challenge you tonight to do that. Maybe you've just been a little bit discouraged, a little bit down. Won't you just take the opportunity, lift your hand to it, and ask the Lord, I want to give it to you with all of my heart. I want to give it to you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let him have it tonight. He knows what to do with it. Brother, you've been discouraged. Let Jehovah Shammah, let Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Roha, let him come by where you're at tonight. He's enough, more than enough. Can we lift our hands and let him know? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You just feel him as he sweeps in this building tonight. As the angels of God are standing at attention tonight. They don't know what it is to be discouraged like you do. They don't know what it is to be tempted like you do. Oh God. Set free. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you tonight. Search us tonight, dear God. May we bring our petitions. May we bring our needs before you, Lord. Come and touch your children, Father. For you are a great deliverer. Oh, shepherd, make us to lie down tonight beside you, oh, great King. May we feast, Lord, and have communion with you. Oh, it's more than enough. I challenge you to believe me tonight. That's it. Go ahead and tear into the kingdom. Go ahead and worship me tonight. Amen.
I have been
Oh, just feel him near tonight. Why don't you just go ahead and accept it where you're at? Why don't you just go ahead and give him praise and thank him tonight? Take off that old spirit of heaviness. Put on that garment of praise tonight. And let him know when I leave this building, I'm leaving my trouble. I'm leaving my trials. I'm leaving bitterness. I'm leaving envy and strife behind tonight. I'm walking out of here free. In the name of the Lord.
There is power in
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus.
How many believes that tonight?
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, how Satan hates to hear you sing it.
There is power.
You hear that, devil?
Jesus. Break every chain. There's a mighty God among us. There is a mighty God among us. There's a mighty God among us. He's here to break every chain. Break every chain. Chain, break every chain.
His age is evermore. him. That's our Savior. What did he do?
He left his hometown.
Yes, he did.
To enter this arena, to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But that angry crowd, they cry, crucify this one who wore the crown and gladly watched my champion going down. Oh, but I will never count him out, for I am a witness of the day he rose to proclaim this title, champion of love. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the grave. No one could ever gonna take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. Hometown to enter this arena.
Yes, he did.
To raise his hands in victory. He's fighting for you and me. But that angry crowd, they cried, crucify this one who wore the crown. He gladly watched my champion as he, they thought he was going down. Oh, but I will never ever count him out, for I am a victim of the day he rose to reclaim the title, champion of love. He's higher than the high.
Is he higher?
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother, I feel saved tonight. I'm talking about my King. I'm talking about my Savior. I'm talking about the blood of my Savior. Amen. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. God bless you. If you want to leave, bless your heart. If you want to worship, you go right ahead. If you want to rapture, I'd just advise that too. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord,
my Lord,
I said I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I
want
to serve Him till I die. Well, I'm on the battlefield. Oh, somebody help me just a moment. Well, I said I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Battlefield.
For
life for my Lord. Oh, my Lord, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, you know I promised Him that I, Lord, you know I'm going to serve you until I die. And I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I was alone and idle, I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying, son, there is work to do. I took the Master's hand and I joined the Christian band. And you know right now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Of God upon me, the Bible in my hand, and distant lands I trod, crying, sinner, come to God. Now I'm on the battlefield for my God. Bless you. Amen. Go in the field, Lord. You know I'm on the battlefield. Say